ready, Freddy?
Ready to go.
Ready, steady?
Something like that. What were you going to say?
Hello? Knock, knock?
Who's there?
Who?
Who, who?
Are you an owl? Oh,
dear. Let's not do the silly jokes.
No, I'm terrible at jokes.
So where'd we go this week?
We went back to Cherokee Point.
Yeah, we were due a visit to another park.
We were?
Yeah, we parked in the, I guess, northwest corner. And we parked at, where did we park?
846 Charlotteville Road 2.
And there was a reason for this location.
Yes, there was. A successful reason.
So, previously, so many of our trips have been they've focused on mountain biking, but we've also been focusing a little bit on mushrooms and the morel hunt. We've now stopped looking for morels and we've started looking for
chanterelles.
So based on a bit of information from Jessica, based on extensive research by Jessica, I investigated the bits of Turkey Point after the monsoon we had that were, one, going to be dry, and two, possibly, and Jessica can talk about this in a minute, possibly had the right environment for the old shrooms.
Also, I just want to clarify, when Jamie says extensive research...
Me or you?
Me.
Oh.
Well, you say that about me sometimes. Yes, sometimes it is a bunch of reading, but it could be also just as simple as looking at pictures of, multiple pictures of, and just kind of training your mind a little bit and noticing, like, the background or the environment that, you know, whatever mushroom you're looking at is in. So sometimes extensive research is just looking at photos.
The only thing I'd say, though, is you've got to know where to look to find the photos to look at. Like, there is research gone into it to be able to be a bit more of a detective, I suppose.
I suppose it's up for debate how you want to define
research. Yeah, and you've spent a bit of time looking in textbooks and a bit of time... Yeah, I'd say extensive reading. More than 20 minutes, anyway.
I feel like some kind of a scientist or something.
You're a boffin.
Which I am definitely not. I feel like more of a... looking in children's I Spy books or something.
With a Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass.
And one of those two-peaked hats.
Oh, the Deerstalker.
Yes. I would like one of those, I think.
Fair enough. That probably...
What's the purpose of the two peaks again?
I think to keep the sun out. I don't know. I mean, I was going to say keep the sun out and the sun off, but it's tweed and designed for winter, so... I don't know. Maybe to keep the rain from going down your neck?
We have to look that up, because I'm sure that there is a real, true purpose for the double peak the tweed fabric.
My dad had one for a while.
Of course he did.
Yeah, he smoked a pipe as well.
I was going to say, next I need a pipe. All right. Anyways, so yes, we went back to Turkey Point for another go-round.
We did. We went to the north. West corner, which is an area we'd not been to before, which had some green, quite a lot of blue, and a couple of blacks. And personally, I thoroughly enjoyed that northwest corner, although there is a little caveat. One is the blacks aren't really black. I mean, there's a few features that are a bit serious, but I rode around that section this time and thought I could live here. I think there's enough to keep me interested. And I do appreciate the fact after a whole day of rain, 3 inches, no less, it was rideable a day later.
Well, that,
because it drains well. And I'm like, that's what I need in my life in Canada.
Well, that is mighty... I lost what I was going to say.
Important?
Well, that is mighty impressive after that much rain to be as dry as it was. That's, as we would say, a rarity around anywhere, really.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's some top shelf drainage.
Good trail building as well, I think. So what did you make of the Turkey Point?
It was good. I was definitely glad to explore a different area there. I mean, I always am. Little Miss Adventure here. Yeah, definitely nothing was too difficult. I mean, you're right about the black being... I kind of felt blue at best. Not that I'm looking for something horrifying. But just to say, there... Don't be too scared of the blacks there. They're doable. And, you know, the usual beautiful mixed forests. There was one trail in specific that was my absolute favorite. Was it called Planet of the Apes?
Oh, yeah, that one a bit further down that we...
That was more the southwest corner?
It was like the bottom of the northwest corner, I guess.
Oh, okay.
We took the green trail, which is shared with the four-wheelers and the electric Suron motorcycles. I think you can take petrol motorcycles. It's just we saw two dudes repeatedly going backwards and forward who looked very serious and didn't look like they were having a great time in their body armor.
They were very focused.
We did a long green trail on the hunt for the chanterelles, and that bottomed out on Planet of the Apes, which we did in its entirety. And you did like that, didn't you?
I really enjoyed that.
And an interesting finish. It was a bit like started off mellow and then ended up quite up and down, and used the elevation well, I would say. Quite roly.
Roly poly.
Yeah, just on what you said about the blacks, if you're progressing, so you've been riding blues and greens and you think, I'm going to start having a crack at some blacks, it would be a good place to go to try some blacks. Because a lot of the black element of it is built features that you can either go round or, you know, walk and have a look at.
Yeah, not with a massive risk of anything too terrible happening.
No.
Well, says the girl who
smoked yourself on
made
a tree.
Something pretty terrible happen out of something that wasn't that difficult. But, you know what else I wanted to make mention of, too, that I did love at that place? Was that super long skinny.
Yeah, you liked that, didn't you? I didn't do it.
It was really cool. It was like a huge, long log, like fallen tree, that they kind of sawed and flattened the top, and it started out real skinny and got a little wider, and then there was a little ramp at the end of it. It was most excellent.
I'd like one of those in our driveway, I think.
That would be fantastic.
I think it would be good to practice on down the side there. I don't think our neighbours mind too much.
No, our neighbours would be rooting us on.
They want to have a go.
They do for everything else. So encouraging. It's excellent.
And I got scolded for picking black currants, are they, or blackberries?
Black raspberries.
Black raspberries because of the deadly poison ivy, which I touch wood don't react to. I react to everything else over here, insects wise, but for whatever reason, that's not bothered me. And I got a bit told off, didn't I?
I would not have said that you got scolded. And maybe he was just jealous that we could get in there and get to the black raspberries, and he was too afraid of the poison ivy.
Maybe. Maybe it was the layers of bug spray and sun cream I had on that kind of...
He was a bit dramatic, though. Like,
shield.
It was a bit of a panic. Like, my God, you guys are in there.
I expected to
have a
breakout, but I didn't.
I had your big, tall, orange 8-ball socks on, so I was A-okay.
The glow in the dark.
My knee highs. Or I should say Jamie's knee highs. No, those were helpful, because you never know. I might have had a bit of irritation had I had my own ankle socks on. So yeah. Thank you for that.
That's all right. I mean, that is true. I had socks and knee pads. There isn't a lot of my leg exposed.
No, there isn't.
So, yeah. So...
so the car park was fantastic at this location.
Yep.
There was, as Jamie loves it, not a single car when we arrived.
Winner.
There's Jamie fist pumping right now. And a luxurious Lord of Portaloo.
Yeah, I would agree.
That was super clean and very pleasant. Just a nice, quiet corner. However, I say quiet, it is next to a, was it a private campground?
Yeah, one that I think a lot of motorcycles and four-wheelers were at. Not that that is why it was more noisy, but...
well, it was a long weekend. I mean, when we pulled up to the car park, it was quite peaceful. While we were out and about in the trails, it got... there were times where I was hearing, like, blaring music, and I think it was from the campground. And, again, just to be noted that it was a long Canada Day holiday weekend, so perhaps a little more rowdiness than usual.
Yeah, it was, I mean, yeah, it was noisy, and it was actually quite touristy, wasn't it, as far as... outside of the mountain bike area, there was more people around than we've noticed before. So I guess we've been a little bit out of season prior to that. So
yeah, still hardly like not busy by any means. Like once you're out in the woods there, it's not like you're running into people often.
And no walkers apart from that one, apart from Mr. Poison Ivy Man. everybody else we saw was on bikes, I think.
Right.
So what about your wild edible search for the old chanterelles?
I will get to that in a second. First, I was just thinking back to that sandy trail, the green trail that we were on. The Big Easy, was it called?
Yeah. It wasn't very easy.
And, oh boy, if you are looking for some scrumptious raspberries or black raspberries, that trail is just littered with them. And I do mean littered. We had multiple feasts along the way. However, I do suppose that you should look out for poison ivy. Thank you, Mr. Man.
And
you have now informed the entire world.
And electric motorcycles.
One other cool thing that we found on that trail, which I'm not sure if I've seen before, but I definitely noticed it and stopped to look at it and investigate this time around. They were these super cool orange flowers, and I then learned that they are butterfly milkweed, like not your usual thick green-leaved purple flowered milkweed. These were like just a really cool bright orange with a much different stem and stalk and leaves. And I just thought I was quite excited to learn that they were in the milkweed family.
Yeah, and we've also discovered that milkweed smells delightful.
Yes, like almost better than lilacs. But watch your nose when you stick it in there, because there's often a whole lot more bugs than lilacs.
Yep. Sorry.
That's okay. So then, onto our big find, which not like we found a whole heap of them, but I'm just pleased that we were successful in that. Chanterelles are a mushroom that I would like to get better at identifying and finding. I would like some more chanterelles. And there's many different kinds. So, you know, I didn't set out looking for red ones, but we did find what we later discovered as red chanterelles. And they're also known as the cinnabar red chanterelle. So if you see one of these, you definitely can't miss it. They are, like, bright orange-red. I would say they, like, almost borderlining neon. Such a spectacular color, I would say.
Yeah.
So they are native to northeastern... Sorry. They are native to eastern North America. And these little suckers like to come out in summer and fall, so maybe June, July to September, October. And they're found in broadleaf, hardwood, and conifer forests, particularly near oak trees. And that was, you know, something that just, like I was saying earlier, based on looking at a whole lot of photos of them, noticing oak leaves and pine needles. So just, you know, you really do have to be like a little eye spy when looking at the photos. There's lots of key indicators to help you, in to find them. So they are a mycorrhizal mushroom, meaning that they have a symbiotic relationship with trees and plants. And they seem to like the moisture. So it was, you know, maybe that's why we were lucky that to have a hunt after a good rain soaking. And I was reading that it is good to look in higher and well-drained areas. Yes, so definitely look in the leaves and the pine needles and the moss. And they chanterelles grow from the ground, not on wood. And they grow singly or in clusters of no more than 2 to 3. They have a funnel or trumpet-shaped cap. And these are smaller than regular or, like, say, golden chanterelles. They're maybe 1 to 2 inches across. This is probably the most key identifying feature, I think, for any chanterelle, is that they have false gills. So when you turn the cap over, if you inspect the gills a little more closely, instead of having true gills, they have folds or veins, and they're decurrent running down the stem. The stems could be pure red or slightly lighter to white near the base. And like I said, they're smaller than golden chanterelles. And everybody says that they smell like apricots. I don't know if I have really...
experienced that yet.
Yeah. But often I feel like... this seems to be a bit of a pattern. As odor as an identifying factor or key, I never seem to agree with the scent that is described. Remember the bluets supposing to smell like lilacs?
Yeah.
And we thought they'd smelled like cut grass?
Although maybe they weren't.
Well, we weren't certain about
what
those.
What those were, but yeah, I do know what you mean.
But you're right about the pheasant backs as well. Everybody says they smell like cucumber or watermelon rind and maybe a smidge, but anyway, maybe my nose is off, but... everybody says that they smell like apricots, so there you go. There's another key. And if you like, there is a white spore print. There are some lookalikes. However, I don't think any of them are too deadly. I'd say mainly the one lookalike that I could have definitely confused them with in the past are waxy caps. And once again, I think... the biggest key is looking for the false gills. So.
Which you did learn a bit about, I believe. You explained to me about pressing them with a knife or something.
Oh yeah, that was a new little tip that in some more reading the other night.
See, extensive research.
Yes, you're right. That's right. I did read a cool little tip about a test that you could do for knowing if it was folds or veins, as opposed to true gills, is that if you pressed your nail or maybe even the back of a knife into them, that they would dent as opposed to break or cut like a true gill would.
Yeah.
So, good point, Jamie.
There you go. I did remember something you said.
Excellent. So, that's all I have to say about that.
So, I think we are now on a mission to find more chanterelles. Are we a bit early, do we think? I know they've been cropping up, but maybe Turkey Point's a bit further south, is it? No. It seems to be a bit more mild down there, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading June, July, so I think we're sort of, you know, in the ballpark or the neighborhood of their arrival. Yeah.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Yes.
Anything else you would like to add to the a podcast?
Well, I look forward to going back to Turkey Point again, because is there still more that we have not been on?
Yeah, we've probably done half of it.
Oh, that's it, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, so part 3 of 4 of Turkey Point still to come. We do have an ice cream review to share with everyone.
Which is pretty close to Turkey Point mountain bike trails. You just go to Turkey Point, the actual Turkey Point.
Yeah, it couldn't have been more than 5 minutes away.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, 5 minutes probably.
Yeah.
We went down there for our picnic lunch so we could look at the lake.
Which was extravagant, I must say, for a whip together, nothing planned. That was quite the spread. It completely covered our entire dashboard.
It was excellent.
Smorgasbord, smorgasbord.
However, we then went on an ice cream mission. We passed the first place by, which we should have gone to. Well, but anyway, you never know. And then we went to, where did we go?
We decided to go and check out Kelly's Cove.
And it was anybody who's English will get what I'm about to say. In the true English sarcasm, it was a delightful experience with the best customer service I've ever had.
Whoa.
Not.
Not.
We'd been riding and we were quite relaxed about life. Plus we got bikes on the back, and again, if you mountain bike, you'll understand not wanting bikes to be out of sight. We did park in a new parking spot. We got scolded for that.
Yep, we did, which, you know, I was in the wrong, I do suppose.
Don't take credit, debit or cash. So then got grumpy because I gave her $100 bill to change.
Well, just there was no flexibility on, like, you know, in a one size up from the smallest size, they couldn't do two flavors. That was not going to be negotiated.
Bit of a chocolate kiss on your napkin when you didn't have chocolate.
Yeah, that was a bit questionable. I said, I did not order chocolate ice cream. Why is there brown on my napkin?
As long as it was chocolate.
not a huge selection, but a pretty decent one. I mean, maybe 8 to 10 flavors and a decent variety.
And the ice cream was all right. Like, it was frozen well enough, and
I would say a mediocre size scoop.
Mine was a bit better than yours, wasn't it?
Yours was. So definitely not a total dud, but equally not the most pleasant experience. But that could have been led by me parking in a no parking.
It wasn't service with a smile. I tell you who she reminded me of.
Oh boy. Who?
Voice-wise, the voice, not necessarily, although, no.
Who?
What is the lady in Monsters, Inc. that manages the files? The time records. That's who she reminded me of.
Do you know who I was going to say?
Who?
Is it one of the ants on The Simpsons? One of the TV chains?
Yeah, that was the other one.
Okay, we should stop being so horrible.
If you listen to this, Kelly's Cove, try and be a bit more polite in the delivery of the information that you're giving.
I can't disagree. I tried to, but I can't. Well,
it's just a 5 out of 5.
You never know. Maybe Kelly was just having an off day.
We won't be going back. We'll try somewhere else next time.
Probably.
There's other options.
Yep. You snooze and you lose on us. We're one-time flybys.
And I'm...
Yahoo!
I'm not sure if I'm going to do this, but I've been pondering. I like a challenge for myself. So one thing is, I think we're going to do a bit more fishing, because we've been off the fishing a bit, because we don't like killing the fish. But I think we've both come to the conclusion we can't really eat fish if we're not prepared to dispatch it. So... I think we're going to try and do a bit more of that. That might crop up in the podcast. But I think I'm going to, starting now, and I don't know how long it's going to take me, but every trail that's in Trail Forks in our region, I've pretty much ridden. I'm now thinking I might film every trail on Trail Forks in our region and put it on our YouTube channel. Because I ride, I mean, it's going to take a while, but I can ride it from start to finish. I can speed up the footage so that it doesn't take forever to watch. But my thinking is, for somebody, it could be a good reference tool to be like, oh, what does that trail like? So I'm not 100%. Well, I am 100%. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just not sure on how I'm going to organize it, but I'll put it up on our YouTube channel, hopefully to get a bit more traffic on the Lost in the Forest site.
Excellent.
That was my thing to add.
Alrighty then.
Nothing else to say apart from
get lost.